Welcome everyone to a new episode of the Electric Podcast, an audio only version of the podcast this week because Jetsy is just not that good. it's their fault this week. We're gonna have to find an alternative for next week because now it works basically every other week since we've been using it the past few months.
Feels like it.
All right. Joining me live, of course, is Electric Boss Seth Weintraub. How you doing, Seth?
I'm good, Fred.
All right. So, big weekend news this week. I mean, for Tesla especially, but we also have a few other nice announcements from other automakers, including Porsche and Volvo, that we're going to get into later in the podcast. But let's start the same way we started last week, which was about the whole hype machine that is the Tesla pickup truck, which, by the way, now it sounds like it actually might be called a Cybertruck. For the last few times that Elon referred to it, he called it a Cybertruck. How do you feel about that?
That's going to go over well, I think. Probably going to be a little polarized in reactions, I think, if that is the true name.
Yeah. Well, that kind of sounds cool. But anyway, last week we talked about how, for the first time, Elon actually commented on all the, I mean, at this point, there has to be dozens of fan renderings of the trucks. And he said that he commented on a specific one that Joe Rogan sent out to him, and he said it doesn't look like that. It looked even more Blade Runner-esque than that. This week, he actually said that he checked out a few of the fan renderings online, and none of them look anything like the actual Tesla pickup truck. He said it looks more like an armored personal carrier from the future. So he's talking about an APC, which is mainly like a military vehicle, and it doesn't tell us much because, of course, like APCs is a wide variety of them. They look quite different, and anyway, he's talking about one from the future, so it's not like past references would be that good either way. But it gave us sort of an idea of what he's thinking design wise for the truck, and I'm starting to get a little bit nervous, I have to say. Every time we talked about how potentially weird the design of the Tesla truck is, I'm always like, yeah, but I mean, Tesla's design team has always hit the mark. Like, they always do great design, so how bad can it be? But he's preparing us for something bad, right? Does it?
Or something at least very, very non-traditional. I think, yeah, they teased that like front end, which nobody thought was the front end, and it was just a line. And I think a lot of people were like trying to get their head around exactly like how they could make something that looked like a vehicle and yet had that front end. And we've seen some people try with some renderings, and we've seen actually a couple that weren't horrible.
Yeah, I posted one today that I think is like the closest thing to what not the thing that it looks the best, in my opinion, just the closest thing that makes sense based on the teaser image and the comments from Elon Musk. It's actually a lot based on another thing that when Elon unveiled, people are like, "Yeah, that's not happening." You remember the Tesla Semi-based pickup truck that was unveiled at the Tesla Semi event back in 2017?
It was huge.
Yeah, a huge truck like
it had a pickup in the back of the pickup.
Yeah, and if you use that, which now is starting to make more sense when the guy is referring to the truck as a armored personal carrier. So you combine that, you combine the teaser to it, start making a little bit more sense. But I don't know.
then you go to it costs $50,000 and then nothing makes
that
sense.
Too, right? Cannot be that big of a truck. It's just $50,000.
I mean, anyway, what kind of battery pack could it have for $50,000? Like, it's not going to have a 200 kilowatt hour battery pack.
Which you kind of need if you want to turn a mile range.
If it's going to be like that big, yeah.
Which is what he's talking about. But anyway, that was our quick Tesla pickup truck comment of the week based on what Elon released this week. But let's move on right now. And apparently, it will be no further comment until next week from Elon about the truck because he's going offline, he said last night.
Yeah, I wonder what that means. Night. I mean, obviously it's good for the stock price and everything, but like, what does it mean? Although the stock price, everything's down today. I wonder what that means. Like, where is Elon? And further along, what do you think it means in regard to like Tesla's pickup truck announcement being around the LA Auto Show, because it's in Los Angeles. It's LA Auto Show's mid-November. Can you kind of stick it on one end or the other of that thing?
Sorry, I lost you for a second. I think we talked over each other because we lost each other. What was the question exactly?
Oh, yeah. So the LA Auto Show is it starts around the 14th or 15th for journalists and kind of goes into the 22nd. Mm-hmm. And LA is obviously where Tesla holds most of its events. I wonder if Elon will take advantage of all the auto journalists being in town for the pickup truck launch, or is it going to be something that Tesla dictates and probably be on November 30th at, you know, midnight time?
I think that makes more sense for Tesla-wise, because also, like, even though, yeah, it would make sense since all the auto journalists would be in town, at the same time, most of the auto journalists have already a bunch of obligations while they're there. Like, they have to, they sign up to be at one event or the other and whatnot. So I'm not sure if it makes much sense of that. And historically, Tesla has never launched a vehicle at one of the big auto shows, so I doubt it. All right. Now, for other Tesla news this week, yesterday Tesla updated the online configurator for the Model 3, and there was a bunch of sort of interesting changes. First off, Model 3 Standard Range Plus, which is arguably the base Model 3 if you don't account for the Standard Range, which is half the menu, went up in price by $500. All right, no big deal. That buys you an extra 10 miles of range to 250 miles of range.
But that's the same pack.
I don't know. Tesla didn't say anything about it. They just updated the online design studio. We reached out to them. They are not commenting on it. They just update that and they let it go.
I think we got a tip from somebody, or I saw it somewhere, that they talked to a Tesla sales rep. And the sales rep said that the extra 10 miles of range would be available to current Standard Range Plus users somewhere down the line.
They said a software update, but that was through the Tesla live chat thing. So,
which is probably not very reliable.
Yeah, I wouldn't put too much stock in that because historically they don't know much more than the customers. So anyway, they are now able to advertise the mid-range, the Standard Range Plus, excuse me, at 250. How, we'd like to know, but until either Tesla comments on it or eventually, and I would assume quite soon, the EPA is going to update its website with more information about the range. So we should get in more details how Tesla achieved that. So that could be interesting too. Other changes. The price of the performance version increased by $1,000, which is rare because over the last year, since the performance version has been introduced, it has mostly been going down in prices. But there's also something else that came with it, which is new wheels that are now standard on the Model 3 Performance, and basically the same wheel, but in gray. So I don't know if that really justifies a $1,000 increase, but It does came with it. And I think they do look better, but we spotted them just a day before. So Tesla has already been shipping out batch of Model 3 with those wheels, but they just started now making them available in the online configurator for some reason. They do look really cool, though. Based on our poll that we did on the post, vast majority of electric readers also prefer them to the silver chrome one.
Yeah, I think this is going to look particularly nice with like the white, but that's just me.
Well, yeah, that does make sense. The fact that they recently changed the standard paint color on the Model 3 from black to white. And most people, I would think, prefer the contrast of having darker wheels with a light color of the car, especially white. So maybe that's why. But again, that wouldn't make much. It wouldn't make sense if all the wheels were, or if the wheel was available for all options, but it's only available for the performance version. So, and most people performance version, they will be, if you're willing to pay the $15,000 premium to have the performance version over the standard version, you can afford also probably to have a different color than the standard one.
Wow, over 81% pick black over silver.
That's impressive. Yeah, vast majority.
It wasn't close.
Yeah. Another change that happened too on the online configurator was that does it change the deposit required? So deposit, I think change over time around $2,500 to $1,000 deposit when you actually configure the car and place your order. But that always was always refundable. So for up to until the car goes into production, I think, it remained refundable. Now it's down to just $100, but it's non-refundable. They call it an order processing fee, basically. So I don't know what kind of impact that has, really, because, I mean, obviously it's a lot cheaper, but it's also non-refundable. But at the same time, the more expensive deposit, while it was refundable, it wasn't up to a point. Like, once the car is in production, it's not refundable anymore. So I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, isn't there, so there's some, like, you take the car for a week, and if you don't like it, you give it back?
That too, yeah.
So you don't get your $100 back. I wonder if, like, a lot of people were using this instead of, like, a rental car, just saying, hey, yeah, I'm thinking about buying a Tesla, getting it for a week and returning it and saying, nah, I don't want it. And I wonder if too many people were taking advantage of that, and Tesla was getting a bunch of week-old cars.
I doubt that would be the case, but...
I'm tempted to do it. You know, if you're like in California for a week, you're like,
Yeah, but just because Tesla, I mean, even if you get an inventory car, unless it's the end of the quarter and they're really trying to get the car out there, normally you don't get like same day delivery on an inventory car.
That's true, yeah.
So it doesn't make it for a very convenient loaner. Finally, the other thing that changed in the Online Design Studio with that all those with that big update was the delivery time in the U.S. got pushed a lot. Just earlier this month, it was just 2 or 3 weeks for all variants of the Model 3. Now it's 6 to 10 weeks for Standard Range Plus and all Long Range All-Wheel Drive, and 8 to 10 weeks for the Performance version. So what I'm hearing from sources is that Tesla, well, that's not new. Tesla always do that in the early in the quarter. First month, they will make a batch of cars for overseas markets. Well, several batches, of course, for overseas market. And they put it on boats. And then they switch to North American production, which doesn't take as much time to deliver because, of course, they don't need to be on boats. So Tesla is seeing a surge of them. The difference is Tesla is seeing a surge of them in several overseas market, including major European markets like the Netherlands is a good example. UK is also a good example. Australia. China is a more of a wild card, but also with the Gigafactory 3 production starting, it's unclear what's going to be the mix between Gigafactory 3 and Fremont for a while. But Tesla will still continue to ship out cars from Fremont to China for the higher-end version of the Model 3, like the performance version of the all-wheel drive version. So
you don't think it's a like retooling the lines or anything like that?
I doubt it right now. I think what I hear from sources is that they were making a bigger batch than they usually do for overseas market because the demand is just bigger than they thought. Last quarter, like we reported last quarter, at the end of the, after the end of last quarter, Tesla could have delivered more cars in some of those markets, including Australia, including the UK, including the Netherlands, if they had more inventory by the end of the quarter, which they didn't have. So this time they're looking to have more inventory spread out in markets where they think they can sell those cars. And then, as usual, we're going to get a big end of the quarter push, end of the year in this case, in the US, because the cars are going to be built in November and in December. Though, as we reported earlier this week, this weekend, Tesla has been making some changes to its delivery and sales operation in North America. Two main things. First one, Tesla centers. Based on sources, Tesla's management communicated to employees that they're going to try to open what they call new Tesla centers, which is, I mean, it's hard to explain, but basically they want to sell all their product, big cars and energy products, and they want to do it 7 days a week all the time. Because if I didn't even know this because like it's not
It makes no sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense, basically. But they call it blue laws, is that right?
Yeah.
Blue laws?
We have these like religious things that in the U.S., like in some places, you can't do things on Sunday. For instance, in New York, I think you can't buy booze on Sunday from some liquor stores or something.
All right. And that includes dealership. They cannot sell cars. They cannot deliver cars. They cannot process any kind of sales on Sundays. And there's actually a lot of states that do it, like 14 states or something. Then some of them, like quite major states, that it really cuts out 1/7 of the week for Tesla's operation, which Tesla doesn't like. Excuse me. And there's also the dealership's direct sales problem that Tesla has, but it's not clear that Tesla will be able to avoid those restrictions with the Tesla centers, though it might be an opportunity. We'll see, but I thought it. I'm sure the dealerships will fight back on this, and they probably will fight back on the Blue Laws 2 issue. So those Tesla centers, Tesla, the way they're thinking is that they will mainly staff those with delivery employees, aim at doing deliveries, but those employees will also be responsible for sales, and they will sell cars and energy products, and they will deliver those all throughout the weeks if they can actually get around those laws, those restrictions.
Yeah, I mean, I can see Tesla saying, hey, well, you know, if you can't sell cars on Sunday, or, you know, you're not supposed to sell cars without a dealership mm-hmm. license, well, our Tesla employees, you know, they happen to know about the cars, that people are asking about the cars, mm. they're going to say stuff because yeah. it's not, you know, we're not trying to sell the cars. We're just telling our customers about our full line of products. Maybe, you know, we're not supposed to talk about cars, mm. but like, what are we supposed to do if our customers ask mm. about cars? And then, you know, the customers go online and they do a couple things. Mm. It only takes a couple seconds. They can do it from their phone. I think it's going to be hard for the dealers to kind of attack this like untraditional yeah. model. It just seems like too complicated.
As long as they don't process the sales on Sundays, like they could do all the work with the customers while they're there and then process the sale the next day or something.
Yeah, it could be kind of similar to B&H Photo and all the other Hasidic Jewish retailers in New York that don't do things on Friday night, Saturday, because of religious reasons, or like this whole week, for instance. We were trying to get a Pixel 4 and they're not having it. Anyway, what they do is their systems queue up all the orders. So you can order it, but it won't process through until the next day or whatever.
Do you mean you can order it online, or you can order it in store too, and they just don't complete the sale?
I feel like you can order it online, but maybe I'm wrong. Mm. I don't know. We were trying to get a Pixel 4 this week, the 9to5 Google group from B&H, and they were like, we're offline. It's some crazy holiday.
You don't get one from Google these days with all the scoops that 9to5 Google had?
That's exactly why we don't get one from Google. They're a little pissed.
Okay.
You know what that's like.
Yeah, I've been around those things a few times too. All right, the other thing that Tesla is doing, aside from the Tesla centers, is they are ending the sales commission, which was already being capped, was already not as big of a part of the compensation for sales advisors since earlier this year, and the whole online sales thing, that fiasco that was announced. Now, the good news is that they are increasing the salaries. So I'm not clear on the fact that it's actually going to be anywhere near what they were doing before, what happened earlier this year. But it's a 20 to 40% increase for sales advisors. So still pretty good. And they're going to do a new focus back on, stock option as bonuses instead.
That's great.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
It's kind of what they had before, and it was one of the selling points of going into a Tesla mm-hmm. dealer, knowing that the salespeople weren't necessarily there to make a big mm-hmm. a buck off you. Although, you know, in the long term, that's obviously the case. But they weren't trying to get you in the car and kind of trick you into getting into mm-hmm. the car. Mm-hmm. So that was always a good thing. I think it's great for Tesla to get back to his roots on that.
Yeah. Also, unlike the move from earlier this year to move away from physical sales or like sales in stores and whatnot, they are actually hiring more salespeople, but they're also hiring more delivery people, as we previously reported for the Tesla centers. And those people are also going to do sales. But now they're going to be people dedicated to deliveries in each Tesla sales location too, so that they can oversee the whole process from there to make sure that there's a smoother delivery experience and all. And Tesla also wants, and I find that interesting, they want to reduce the number of person you have to talk to when you buy a car at Tesla. They feel like, much like a dealership where you talk to a salesperson there, then the salesperson go to the finance director, whatever they're called, and then you get the delivery guy, and like, you have too many people, they think. So they want to reduce the number of people so that it's a more streamlined experience, which I think is nice. All right. Track mode package. What is that? That leaked through the parts catalog that Tesla made public earlier this year, where you can go online now and you can see all the different parts available for the Model 3, S, X, and even the Roadster, the whole one, of course. So looking at that, Tesla updated a few new parts this week, and those parts are linked to something called track mode package. So it looks like Tesla is building a package that they're going to really quite like it sounds, a package for going on the racetrack. And there's three parts right now linked to that package. Mission Pilot Sport Cup 2 tires, which are like a sort of semi-slick tires that were found on the next-gen Roadster prototype that Tesla unveiled a few years ago. And the new Model S Plaid prototypes that have been spotted in Nürburgring, they're also rumored to have the same tires. There's also a new brake pad kick from front brakes with a front brake caliper. So bigger calipers in the front. Those are also linked to track mode package. So Tesla already upgraded for the performance version of their cars, and especially talking about the Model 3 here, because those are all linked to Model 3, which is the only car that has the track mode, the software version of track mode, I mean. And some of the people that have actually been racing their performance Model 3, like when I went to with Tesla Corsa in the Central Valley in California, where they have this initiative to help owners push the limits on their car on the safe environment, a racetrack, really. And some of the owners that were more experienced in the car and they were pushing it to the limits, they all enjoyed the bigger brakes, but they said the front brakes, they needed a more performant version there, and it looks like Tesla was listening. Finally, there's this new carbon fiber wheel cap that goes on top of the performance wheel. So if you have a 19 or 20-inch performance wheel, you have a little carbon fiber thing that comes on top of it. And Tesla, right when they added the part to the parts catalog, they also made it available as an aftermarket product for a measly $300 for those little wheel cap.
300 each or 300 for four?
For four.
Okay, that's almost not as bad. But
it's still pretty expensive, in my opinion. Yeah, it's but kind of pricey. Just to hide your little bolt on your wheels. So there might be more things that are going to go into that track mode package. I would hope so, actually. But for that's it. For now, that's it. And we don't know if that's going to be made available as a factory option, like you can order it when you order a Model 3 Performance, or if it's going to be an aftermarket package. But Tesla, in the past, talked about making like the performance package of the Model 3 as an aftermarket product. So that's not quite like that, because that's the track mode package. So maybe like a version above that. So, but I have the feeling that's going to be an aftermarket product. But it might also be available either way. So next we have Model Y. Not much to say about it, but what I find interesting is there's definitely an uptick in sightings of prototypes.
Yeah, there's definitely a round of those around, and we've also seen the trailer full of them as well.
Yeah, so two things. The trailer, so a bunch of exactly the same Model Y with new wheels, though. There's interesting new wheels on it. And all the same cars, all on a Carrier. So we'd assume that it's like a set of pre-production vehicle that they're going to use for something. Could be crash tests, could be things like that. We'll see. Or it could be just a run to test pre-production. So, but we also spotted a nice-looking Midnight Silver Model Y with the sports wheel, the power sport wheel, the same one that the Tesla sells for the Performance Model 3 in China. And this one seems to be for long-distance tests, like road testing on public road, because just a day after we did the Model Y was spotted in Fremont, it was spotted in Vancouver, Washington, which is 600 miles away. So all looks like that they are traveling around and testing out the vehicle. And for a while, there's been that rumor for a while now that Tesla was being very conservative about this fall 2020 target for starting Model Y production. And more recently, with the uptick in prototype sighting, a bunch of people are saying that, oh, Tesla is actually planning to start production sooner. I'd be very careful with those rumors because, a year-long public road testing program is not anything unusual. I mean, it's actually quite standard. So
I have a contrarian view of that.
Okay.
You want to hear it? All right. So it's totally wacko, and I just came up with it. So maybe Tesla didn't want to cannibalize any of its sales of Model 3 or Model X or even Model S because people are waiting for the Model Y. So they said, oh, it's going to be way out here when we launch it. But really, if they launch it, you know, a half a year earlier, all those people who are, you know, they're not going to wait 2 years for a Model Y. But, you know, if Tesla had said, hey, we can actually get it in the first or second quarter of 2020, a lot of the people who bought Teslas this year would have waited. I think I would have waited if I was in the car market and Model Y's like mm-hmm. kind of the perfect car for me. So that's just like maybe Tesla's like actually going to be early with the Model Y.
Not impossible. There. Not impossible. But
not impossible. I'll take it.
But it'd be quite unlikely. a bold strategy, really. And it'd be an insanely quick turnaround for Model Y production.
But we know the Model Y is very similar to Model 3 in terms of parts.
It is.
And so, like, I wonder if you can kind of not test as much.
That 30% is still a lot. Like, 30% right. apart is still a lot. And they also need they're investing in capacity production, too. So they have to set up a new assembly line and things like that. So.
Yeah, but if they could start getting those out the door, they would just never meet demand. I feel like that car is just going to sell like hotcakes.
Of course. I mean, it's a Model 3 with a hatch, basically. And that's what people want in the first place. And the Model 3 still sold without that hatch. So. And, of course, there's the third row. But let's be honest, that third row, unless it's for small kids, I don't see it much. All right, Model S played back in the news this week because two prototypes were sighted at Nürburgring again. So Tesla kept their promise there. They said that last month, after a few rounds of testing, they left and they said, we are able to do like a 7-minute 20 lap on it, and we're going to go back, do some modification, and come back next month and try to do a 7-minute lap. 7:05, they said. And now they're back at it. And based on the video that we released, we posted from Automotive Mike, looks like they were trying some hot laps there. So we might hear soon about the performance of it. Though there are some caveats here where especially even Nürburgring started commenting on it. Now they're like, they're becoming more stringent about what they consider an official lap time now. So if Tesla is going for like a four-door sedan record, it's going for an electric car record or something like that, need to be careful because what could they consider production or not? Definitely not a production car. Of course, there are prototypes, but they're prototypes of what's going to be in production. But at the same time, some people say that they saw that it's actually a cage inside. It's not a full interior, so it's going to be lighter. So I don't know.
I mean, once you have the technology to do it, you know, you can replicate it with a normal interior or mm-hmm. whatever. Maybe not to the second, but as long as you get it out there, I think it's fine. I want to talk about the car though. Like, it's got that big diffuser at the bottom. Like, mm-hmm. do you think that's going to make it to production?
Well, now that we learned that Tesla is working on a track mode package for Model 3, I mean, I could see the same thing happening for Model S, and they could have some things like that diffuser there, which you're right, it's pretty big and aggressive look, but it doesn't look to be like affecting the ground clearance that much.
No, it actually looks like it's up into the trunk space a little bit. What do you think about the battery in that car? Is that a 100 kilowatt hour battery? Is that a 200 kilowatt hour battery like the Roadster? What do we got there?
Yeah, 200 kilowatt, that would be insane. But they would sell a ton of those, actually. Like Tesla, if something that I've learned from Model S owner is that those guys that bought those P100Ds, those Ludacris and everything, they are always looking for the next thing. They always, so like those guys, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them, as soon as Tesla unveil a new top of the line Model S, they sell the whole one and they buy the new one. Yep. So they would, and those are right now $140,000 cars. So make it 160, they probably would buy it with that doubled energy capacity of the pack, which is about what it would cost, in my opinion. Then add maybe another 15 for that track mode package with the spoiler. Though the spoilers look a little bit more normal in there, except like they have the added clear one on top of it, and a much larger air intake in the front. What else? Not much else, really.
But behind the front wheel, there's an exit. I guess.
Because they're larger fenders. Yeah, that's the other thing, of course. The fenders are larger around the wheel wells because the wheels are larger, of course.
Right. It does look pretty slick, I have to say. Like, I don't know how I feel about the diffuser. That might grow on me, mm-hmm. might not. But, like, just the car in general with the wider wheels looks pretty nice.
Yeah, it does. A wide body does match well with the Model S. I think some aftermarket people did it too, and it worked well there too. I'm not sure about the front end though, like the big air input right in the middle. It's not as smooth as the front.
Yeah, it's fun. It's funny because we're going full circle here. You know, like the whole point of the Model S was like we don't need a grill, but now they have grills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And apparently, they also bring it to production sooner. Last month, Elon said that it was going to be late next year, around the same time next year, so September, October. Now he says that summer, so might be earlier in the summer. We'll see. It would make sense because I was surprised when they announced all that play thing, and it was like, oh, it's a year away. I'm like, hey, that's not like Tesla doing that. And of course, we still think the interior refresh is coming. So would make sense for them to match that to the plate because they could use all the attention they get from releasing the plate, which is going to become, of course, again, like the top sedan, sports sedan on the market, electric or not and everything. But then it's going to be a $160,000 car or whatever. And then they say, well, but we also have the cheaper version of the Model S, which now has 400 miles of range or whatever it will be. And no, maybe not. But what's the shortest Model S right now, long range? Like still like
70.
Through 30, through 340, I mean, something like that.
Yeah.
So if that's going to get a boost too. And then they're going to go, and it has a brand new interior. And of course, a lot of people that like the S right now and they want to upgrade to have all the goodies from the latest autopilot computer and MCU and whatnot. All right. Tesla Gigafactory 3 in China. Production was supposed to start this week based on information that was released from Chinese officials and Tesla suppliers last month. But we haven't seen any confirmation the production started, though Tesla did receive the official green light from the government to start production. They were added to the official manufacturer, automated manufacturer list, and now they can start production. So they can start whenever they're ready. Doesn't look like they're quite ready now. Nothing too surprising. It's still a major endeavor that they're getting into right now.
It's still crazy to see that like almost fully functioning factory like sitting where it was just like a mud, like a bog, you know, not even a year ago. So
yeah, crazy fast, but that's the outside that was crazy fast. The inside is another thing, like all the production lines and everything. The other thing that we learned too is that second phase thing is apparently going to be battery production. That's based on another report coming out of China. Unclear if it's battery pack production or battery cell production. One, of course, would be major news. The other one would be, meh, this already does that at Gigafactory 1, so it wouldn't make sense they do it at Gigafactory 3. All right, another quick Tesla news, and then we'll move on to the other automakers. Deep Rain. That's a new neural net from Tesla, for a neural net especially for the automatic wipers. So I don't know about you, but I didn't have much of a problem with this. Like, sometimes it would be not fast enough to respond. It will take just a fraction of seconds to actually, like, accelerate or something. But for the most part, I've been okay with the Tesla's automatic wiper. And for those who don't know, though, of course, just a quick background here. Most new car, modern cars nowadays, they do come with automatic wipers that matches the speed of the rain, of the snow, whatever. But those things use rain sensors, which are pretty good at detecting rain and the intensity of the rain, and then you just have to have the wiper speed match that. Anyway, Tesla said, don't need that. We are computer vision expert. So instead, they just use the cameras that they already use for Autopilot, and they developed their own neural net to use the computer vision system to detect the strength of the how fast the rain is coming down or the snow, whatever, and then they match their wipers to that.
Go ahead. So my experience has been different. On the Model S and X, I had an S for a couple of years and then upgraded to the Model X. Tesla has been great on which one? Wipers.
Because your S was a rain sensor.
Right.
And your X too. Is what?
I think my X is too.
Your X is Autopilot 2.0.
Yeah, so it doesn't have that.
It's supposed
sensors.
No, it's supposed to have Autopilot sensors using the rain.
Oh. In any case, both the S and X had like the wipers worked fine. It would start raining, and or if I'd pull out and it was raining, they would work. For whatever reason, my Model 3 doesn't do that. Like if there's, unless it's like a downpour, the wipers don't turn on. Hmm. But I find if I go to manual and do like a wipe and then go back to automatic, it seems to work a little better. So I don't know.
I also had some issues with mine, but not like nothing like that. Like even like a light rain, it would start. Sometimes I would be like a little, like I would do two or three push myself before it would start doing normal, but sometimes it would go on itself too.
And if there's ever an emergency, I just, you know, if like it just downpours on me or something and it's not picking up, I always just hit the wiper, you know, the button on the left stock, and it sprays a little windshield wiper fluid, but at least it's clean.
No, you can just tap it once and it doesn't spray it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you hold it, it's going to spray it, but if you can just tap it once, it's just going to wipe once start.
Is that new?
Don't think so.
Okay.
I always remember seeing that. Yeah, I just do that, and I think that might explain it, though. If you do that, maybe then it wakes up the neural net. It's like, oh, maybe I should check if there's rain, if the guy is using his wiper. Maybe I should say, oh, there is some kind of rain here, and they start doing it. Anyway, that Deep Rain neural net, Elon said it's coming soon and it's going to be a better, stronger neural net for detecting rain and matching the wiper speed to it. And he also said that it's going to do more than just detecting rain. If it sees that there's rain or snow or whatever, they're also going to try to detect the road conditions and adapt the speed of autopilot, if autopilot is being used, to the road conditions, which is in many jurisdictions, it's actually the law to adapt your speed, not just to the speed limit, but to the road conditions. So that's definitely a good step to do if you want to achieve full self-driving at one point, which I'm not saying that that will enable it, but it's definitely one of the things you need to consider in order to release a self-driving system. All right, moving on. The Porsche Taycan 4S. So last month, they unveiled the production version of the Taycan, but only the Turbo and Turbo S were released, which were the two higher-end version of the of Porsche's first electric car. And starting at $150,000. And I think that was one of the main downside of the old production version of the Taycan. Like, the people were like, yeah, it's a great car, great options and everything, great performance, good looking. Of course, there was that Model S comparison that on paper doesn't look that good. But I think most people were happy with it, except for the price. They were like, ooh, $50,000 starting price. You can get it up to $200,000 easy if you want the Turbo S fully equipped. So that's an expensive car. They always said that less expensive version were coming, and now they're already launching the 4S. 4S starts at $104,000, so much more reasonable. But that one comes with a smaller battery pack, a 79.2-kilowatt-hour battery pack, which is going to reduce your range to around 253 miles, 407 kilometers, but that's WLTP, so... take that into account, maybe a 20, 30 miles less for the APA, maybe a little bit more too. You also, with that battery pack, you get 390 kilowatt of output capacity. You still get the two motor system, but they are now limited to 390 pack versus...
do you know if they're the same motors?
If you think it's software lock, maybe? No, I don't know.
No, I mean, do you think they downgraded the motors because they can't handle, like, why put an extra powerful motor in something that can't handle, you know, if the other Taycan can do, you know, 500-600 kilowatts and this one can only do 300 or 400.
I think it's seven for the Turbo S.
Yeah, seven. But sure. So, like, why put a bigger motor in a Taycan?
Yeah.
If it can't handle.
The other option you think would be having the same motors but software lock. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
Right.
Software lock to the what matches the battery pack's output. Yeah, I that's a good question. I don't know the answer to it. And you get a slower charge rate too. 225 kilowatt is the max charge rate for the 79 kilowatt battery pack. But the 4S, you can still get the Performance Battery Plus, which is the same one that is in the Turbo and Turbo S version, the 93.4 kilowatt-hour version. However, they do limit the power output on this one to 420 kilowatts, which 560 is the Turbo version. Okay, so yeah, that would make sense that it's the same motor, but maybe software lock since they have the same pack, or it is smaller motors, one or the other. Okay. Charge rate is 270 kilowatts. You get 288 miles of range on this one. Again, WLTP. A few differences too with the interior options. It's slower of the start, of course. The 4S with the max. Both version. Whoa, that doesn't make much sense. So both version of the 4S, even one that's 420 kilowatts and the one that's 390. It's 30 kilowatts difference still, and they both get 4 seconds 0 to 100. Top speed of 250. That's kilometers an hour, of course. And they offered in 19-inch wheels instead of 20 for the turbo version. And they do get those performance brake caliper, but instead of being the huge yellowish orange caliper in the turbo S version, it's a red caliper instead. But yeah, $103,800 for the smaller battery pack, $110,000 for the bigger battery pack. So that's quite interesting here because $110,000 and that version of the car is actually the version with the longest range for the Taycan, because the Turbo Turbo S, even though they do have the same pack with the bigger motors and everything, they don't have as much range. So something to consider here. It's available to order now, and it's going to be in European dealerships in 2020. A few months later, it should be in the US. So it's going to come a little bit later than the turbo versions, but I'm starting to like the Taycan lineup now. There's been rumors that also a less expensive version could be coming out with a single motor instead, a rear-wheel drive motor. That could be cool too.
I thought they said officially that a rear-wheel drive only version was coming. I can't remember for sure though.
Yeah, but I think that was like a while ago. So I'm not sure if it's still good, but that would be cool. Not sure how much expensive they can get though. The price they're going right now, like it's going to be $90,000. I think most people would go with the all-wheel drive version.
Yeah. It's a pretty sweet car.
Yeah. Speaking of pretty sweet cars, Volvo finally launched the XC40 Recharge, it's called now. It's of course, the all-electric version of the XC40, the slow SUV, big crossover type of thing. So we know it was coming for a while. We know what it looked like pretty much because, of course, we know what the XC40 looked like. But now they released all the specs for the car. Sort of.
My first impression of this one is I hope they have a lot of batteries because I think this is going to sell well.
I would agree with you, but the only thing they didn't release is the pricing, and that's going to tell you if it's going to sell well. Because, of course, if it's well-priced, yeah, it's going to be a killer because it looks sick. It looks very cool. I would argue it looks a lot better than the gas-powered version of the XC40 because they really nailed the front end, I think.
Yeah.
They killed the grill, but not completely. And I think they had a good approach to with the front end to what to do with an all-electric car that already has a same version for gas powered. I think it's a nice approach.
Yeah, I agree. I think all around it looks pretty good.
But I'm a sucker too for those cars with the contrasting roof. Like they have a black roof, like a light interior, a light body. I love those cars.
And they've got a frunk.
Yeah, a pretty big one too. Different ones from the US and European version. 31 liter for the Euro version and 26 for the US. So it's pretty big.
Why do you think that is?
Man, there has to be some restriction about like things in it, I assume.
More windshield wiper fluid required or something.
Something like that. All right. Spec-wise, 78 kilowatt-hour battery pack. Quite sound decent, good. Yeah. Like equivalent to like a long range for the Model 3 or something like that. How it translates to range, though, they're being a little bit weird about that. They're saying over 250 miles, 400 kilometer, based on WLTP. So
it's going to have a hard time getting to 200 EPA, probably.
They also released the EPA. I look at the technical sheet, and the technical sheet, they also had the estimated EPA on it, and they said... Again, they say over 200 miles. So over 250 WLTP, over 200 EPA. So we don't know what that means, over. Like over can mean 400 miles. Of course, it's not going to be 400 miles. But 200 is kind of low, right, for a 78 kilowatt-hour battery pack?
Yeah, but look at how high that thing is.
How heavy it is to look at it. Yeah. I released the weight somewhere in my article.
I mean, it's a Volvo. It's going to be... You know, they over-engineer, but every pillar is like twice the weight of a typical car.
They make it safe. 4,740 pounds to 9,600 pounds, depending on the configuration.
So that's close to a Model X, which is a bigger car.
Yeah. It's like 1,000 pounds more than a Model 3. Of course, it's bigger than Model 3, but well, not that much bigger. I mean, the same length. Actually, the Model 3 is longer than that. But yeah, the car is definitely higher and probably wider too, a little bit. Not that much bigger than Model 3, though.
So this is very anecdotal, but this is because I always show my wife the various cars that come out. Mm-hmm. And this is the first one. She was like, yep, we can do that one. No problem. Yeah. All usually right. She's like, maybe. But she was like, oh, a Volvo? Oh, an EV Volvo? Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, so I mean, I would agree with her, actually, because when the price comes out and everything, like if I were on the market for a crossover, a small SUV, it would be between this and the Model Y, and it would be the first time that I have a car like next to a Tesla, and I'm like, oh, maybe I would go with a non-Tesla here. There's still things like, of course, that makes it hard for me to do that, which is like autopilot
and charging,
but potential for full self-driving in the future. Charging, Model Y is going to be over, going to be 250 or maybe over by that time. We don't know. This thing does 150 DC fast charging.
Yeah, and how many fast chargers are around? Mm. Like, they're growing. There's more, but they're not as reliable, and they're not everywhere you need to be. They're usually like at a mall. Which is nice, but not necessarily in between cities or anything.
Yeah, and also the software. I think I always prefer the Tesla software, but at least in this case here, they have something interesting where it's the first car that it comes with native Android as the operating system in the car.
Yeah, and I've played with that, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I hate to say it's going to be better than Tesla, but Google does have some software experience. So I'm optimistic about how nice the software experience is on this one.
And they do say that it's going to be the first Volvo to receive over-the-air software update. And it's not just going to be for the infotainment system powered by Google, but it's also going to be for the full car. So I don't know what kind of, like, how far they can go with that, but they said it's going to be, like, significant over-the-air software update, just not just infotainment stuff. So we're starting to talking about, like, a serious competitor, but, again, talking about those kind of cars that are multi-powertrain platform, my problem is always the pricing, because the car exists gasoline-powered, and, excuse me, it's not that expensive. What did I say last time? Like, it started at $35,000 or something, the gas-powered version?
Right.
So you cannot make that thing start at $60,000. I don't want to say no one's going to buy that, because if someone is on the market for an electric crossover, or a small SUV, whatever, they might look into it, because, the other options are also expensive, but just the average consumer that are on the market for not an electric one, but what they're on the market for a small SUV or crossover, they're going to get into the dealership and see the $35,000 version and the $60,000 version. It's like, what's the difference between them? Oh, one's electric, one's not. Nah, I'm going with the $35,000 version.
Right. And on the lower end, you have like the Kia Niro and the Hyundai. Yeah. They're not, I don't think, anywhere near as good as this one's going to be.
Yeah. But
if it's half the price, nobody's going to spend double for a Volvo.
Yeah.
I mean, some people will, but most people won't.
My hope here is that thing comes in at around $50,000 before incentive.
Right. That'll get it down to 40.
Yeah.
And that'll make it pretty equal.
Yeah. 40 in some places, closer to 43 in others, but it starts getting interesting. Before gas savings, then you have to account for the gas savings too for people.
Right. That would be pretty interesting. And I feel like if they did under 50, I think that would be enough to like make these fly off the shelves.
Yep. One last thing I want to comment on this, and that they didn't touch during the presentation. At least I didn't see in the presentation, but I have to admit I was dozing off during the presentation because, Jesus, those Swedish executive. Well, one of them was pretty like excited. He seemed excited about the project, but the CEO of Volvo, oh my God, during the presentation, I was like, dude, quit if you don't want to be there, because he looks like he was about to kill himself. He was like, couldn't believe what am I doing here? Like, he didn't want to be here. It looks like he was held by gunpoint to do the presentation. Anyway, sounds like that thing's going to be made in China, my understanding, and exported globally. That was the plan with Polestar. And then originally, when they first announced the car, they said it might be the case too with the XC40 electric. They haven't mentioned that for a while now, so I don't know if it's still the plan, if it's still going to be it. Of course, for those who don't know, Volvo is now being is part of Geely, which is a major automaker in China, and they have been growing increasingly together, like their operation. I mean, all the gas-powered operation now is under Geely, and the electric ones, they did the deal with Polestar Polestar, where Polestar is under Volvo, but is the electric an electric brand under Volvo. But then now there's the XC, which is all made in China now. So that could be an interesting point, because it's still Volvo engineering, but it's Chinese made. Is that going to be an impact on people, you think?
Yeah. So a little backstory. I had a Volvo station wagon, but it wasn't the cool Volvo station wagon. It was the one that was based on a Mitsubishi platform, and it was garbage, which is unfortunate because when I was growing up, my grandmother always had Volvos. And like 740 turbos, which were like not really a grandma car, but that was the funnest car ever to drive. And this, the one I got was like, it was just, it was a mess. So like, you know, I'm optimistic, but if it's like that situation, I'm going to be pretty pissed.
Yeah, I would too, because it looks great. I'm excited for it. All right, we're going to keep you updated on that when we have more information on when – well, it's coming next year. So it is coming next year. We know it, but where it's going to be produced. And the price, of course. We're going to get you the price as soon as we have it. But other than that, that's it for us this week. Thanks a lot for listening. And we're going to catch you same place, same time next week. Hopefully, we're going to have a video next week, and then we're going to be live on YouTube. All right, catch you later.